warmly welcome all of you to our CCL training program. It's a weekly webinar of Citizens Climate Lobbies that provides CCL supporters like you and I with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics related to climate change and effective climate advocacy. Tonight's webinar, CCL Lobbying Basics, Transformative Power of Constituent Advocacy, is the first in a series of trainings designed by CCL to empower all of us as constituents who are planning to meet with our member of Congress with basic knowledge that we'll need to understand Congress and what it's like to lobby as a constituent. So tonight, to get us started, we're actually going to have the chance to hear from four diverse speakers, all of them CCLers, about their aha moments when that transformative power of citizen advocacy clicked for them. And we'll also have the chance to start tonight where we really should, the origin of CCL and its founder, Marshall Saunders. By joining tonight or listening into this podcast later on, know that you've already begun your advocacy journey. We're so glad that you found us. You're on a path and moving towards the vision that Marshall had, that ordinary people like you and I need to take our education, our powerlessness, and our hopelessness into our own hands in order to be the most effective we can be with our government. And amidst all of the details that we're going to review tonight, I hope that the following three learning goals are really key and centered with what we cover and you kind of walk away with. Number one, that constituent lobbying matters. Lobbying as constituents matters, and we have important advantages that we will review. There's also particular approaches that can help us be most effective, and we'll make sure to speak to those tonight. And we'll also have the chance to see in action here that by being empowered and sharing our story, we help empower others around us engage in the political process and build the larger movement that we need to see to create that political will for the livable world and shift Congress's dial on this important issue. So the way we're going to take through our agenda tonight is starting by talking about making a difference, going right back to the start of all things with Marshall's story. We're going to talk about our opportunity that we have. We're going to share some stories of empowerment of CCL volunteers and leaders throughout. We're going to review some of the constituent advantages that we have. And then we're going to talk about how we build relationships. So let's just start where it all began. Marshall Saunders founded CCL in 2007 because he saw the power of organized interests like the fossil fuel lobby, influencing Congress's inaction on climate change, and the limited engagement from everyday constituents engaging Congress in an organized and effective way. Furthermore, it didn't seem to Marshall that there was an organized effort to help constituents know what to do or how to do it, or that they were provided self-confidence and support that they needed to achieve that. So Marshall's aha moment you can see here in this quote was when he realized that ordinary people like you and I have to organize, have to educate ourselves, have to give up on that sense of hopelessness or powerlessness that we might feel and gain the skills we already have to be effective with our government. Marshall always made a great case for what it meant to be an engaged and active constituent. We live in a country where citizen engagement is valued and encouraged. We also have a dynamic where the word lobbying can carry with it some negative connotations stemming from the practice of paid professional lobbying. However, for us as constituents, it's not only our right, but our very duty to be engaged with this political process and to express our voice on issues that matter to us. So remember, one of the CCL mantras, politicians don't create political will, they respond to it. And let's hear actually directly from Marshall about his reflections on why he started CCL and why those words still rang true to him just a year before he passed away in 2019. I'll let Marshall take it from here on an excellent interview that he gave to our podcast, Citizens Climate Read.
And it is trusting that ordinary people can get the job done. It's a trusting in ordinary people. You know, not people who have made it, not people who are powerful, but ordinary people. You know, and if people are not demonstrating that, well, they can't. They can't. They need a little encouragement, a little breakthrough, like I had. So, you know, it's one step at a time.
of them. And it's such a powerful chance to just to hear Marshall's voice again. But you and I are the people that Marshall was referencing there. And we are the ones that are continuing to still engage in that legacy. If you're interested in hearing more from that episode or to find out more about Marshall's life and his legacy, I'm going to put a link in the chat where you can find out more about the amazing influence that Marshall has shaped our entire organization. We miss you, Marshall. And it feels really good every year to start our training sequence with that little jolt of the energy and reflection and the whole value set that you brought to our organization. So with that, what I'd also like to do before hearing directly from some of our CCL volunteers is turn to another early advisor of CCL. You can see here a photo of the wonderful Sam Daly Harris, who actually just had an article published today in the Journal of Philanthropy on the same topic. Sam founded Results, an international citizens lobby dedicated to creating the political will to end poverty in 1980. And really, that template served as the backbone of how CCL built up and organized across the country with our own chapter-based model influencing Congress on another essential issue, climate change. Sam is also the author of a recently reissued 2024 edition anniversary of Reclaiming Our Democracy, Every Citizen's Guide to Transformational Advocacy. And in it, Daly Harris shares how he and the citizen advocacy organizations that he's founded or helped coach, which are many, including CCL in the early years, have catalyzed the energy of thousands of volunteers to score significant legislative and policy wins. And here's what Sam has to say about CCL. With all of the negative news on climate change and Congress, it's understandable to feel discouraged, but hopelessness is not a strategy for making a difference, and neither is acting alone. Citizens Climate Lobby is the antidote, the missing link, the Harvard of citizen activism. Well, that is incredibly high praise from Sam, and we owe so much of our own success and existence to his influence. But what I'd like to slow down and just highlight that I think Sam articulates better than anyone I've ever really heard in this space are two premises. And one that we'll get to in a little bit is transformational organizing. But what he also, I think, does such a good job of highlighting from his early years, trying to make childhood poverty an issue that could resonate with Congress all the way to the support that he still provides organizations today, is highlighting that one of the biggest barriers that we face isn't moneyed interests, isn't anything else that, you know, comes with greater time or talent or energy. It's a learned sense of helplessness or powerlessness. And so what Sam does such a good job of highlighting in many different examples, you know, for one of them, he highlights a poll that Professor Larry Lessig out of Harvard did, where they found that 96% of Americans, this is an issue on money in politics, 96% of Americans believe that it was important to reduce the influence of money in politics, but 91% don't think it's possible. And that really highlights the politics of resignation, right? This idea that basically we need to shift the engagement of Congress, but we also need to shift the engagement of you and I, as all of us, as constituents and citizens, to make a profound, to make that shift in believing that we can make a profound difference on big issues. And that by getting involved, we can actually shape the future that we want to see. So that's specifically what we're going to be talking about tonight. Sam is also a huge advocate of something called transformational advocacy, where basically supported opportunities for volunteers can push through preconceived ideas of what they have and actually achieve breakthroughs in helping imagine what's possible and taking on more and more leadership in their own lives and the communities around them. And that resonates so well with what we're going to be talking about tonight and how it ties directly to CCL's mission. CCL exists, I'm sure many of you have heard about this first part of our mission, to create the political will for a livable world. But what people might not be as aware of is that second part of the mission, which is equally critical. And that is, again, to create the political will for a livable world or for climate solutions by enabling individual breakthroughs in personal and political power. So if we've already shared that politicians don't create political will, they respond to it, then it's our role as constituents to create so much political will that politicians have no other choice than to do what we ask them. And CCL teaches citizens how to empower ourselves, how to develop relationships with their representatives so that we can help Congress see there's political will for strong and ambitious climate solutions like a carbon fee and dividend or clean energy permitting reform, you name it, and CCL's policy agenda. And we strive to enable that individual breakthrough in exercising personal and political power. But what does that mean? Well, I want all of you that are tuning in tonight or listening in later to think about that in your own life. We've all had experiences where we discovered a newly found source of strength or an inner ability to realize that through being engaged or participating in a cause that we cared about, we were making a difference. And what I'm going to do is actually pass it to Maiwa, one of our amazing recent new CCL volunteers, to start tonight's short vignettes featuring CCL volunteers sharing their stories that emphasize this exact same experience of having a breakthrough. So with that, we'll pass it to Maiwa and hear a little bit more about his journey and the breakthrough that he experienced by meeting with his members of Congress with CCL.
This is Maiwa Adereju. I'm a graduate student at North Dakota State University, so my chapter is in North Dakota. And I would say it's an experience that I would definitely remember for a lifetime. And I know a lot of people travel to Washington, D.C., to the Capitol Hill to, like, you know, for tourism and all sorts. But it was particularly special for me because I think I went there to do something really impactful, something really meaningful. And I would say it's empowering rather than being scary, because I had my lobby members and, you know, the veterans that were with me, we were super, super, very fun. And, you know, they were accommodating. They made the environment really accommodating for me, even though I really do not have like a background, like that core background in climate conservation or lobbying. I think that was definitely my first time. So I was a little bit scared, but when I got to the first meeting, and you know, they did this basic introduction to what lobbying would look like, and I felt like, yeah, this is not that bad. And you know, I was able to like engage, and you know, it just kind of went through the basics of how to kind of go about meeting these people. And they made it seem like, okay, even though they are congressmen, they are, you know, people sitting in the Capitol Hill, they are just humans like us, and you know, they are willing to listen to us. And I think that was the point where I had this you know, that self-assurance that you can do this. And you know, on the same table, I had people who have been doing this lobbying for like years, and you know, I never thought I would get to that, you know, please. I never thought I would ever get a chance to like meet a senator, a congressman, or a representative. But like, it was more like a dream come true for me. So it's really nice. And it's an experience that I would owe dear for a very long time. So yeah.
Well, I think for those of us that have had the chance to have that experience, Maiwa, you put it perfectly. And I think another beautiful thing about what you've shared here is just reiterating that we do it as a team, right? We like to think about lobbying as a team sport. So especially for first time or potential consideration, if you're on the fence, just know that you're going to be a part of teams like Maiwa expressed, where you've got people that have had the chance to do this before, helping you feel more comfortable, get your feet and jumping in. And again, remembering that grounding that political leaders, just like any of us, are humans and accessible and have the chance to really be shaped by what we're asking for them to take action on too. So now that we've had the chance to start diving into individuals that have experienced that sense of empowerment, what I'd like to do is actually think a little bit more about why lobbying as a citizen or as constituents matters and the role that we have to play in that. And so let's start with just this basic question, right? Why lobby in the first place as an individual coming from the district you live in to your member of Congress? And there's a simple reason why we actually have that same stereotype associated with lobbying and the companies that pay so much for it. And that is because it's effective. It works. Successful lobbyists, whether they're paid professionals or passionate constituents like you and I, develop relationships. And fortunately, you don't or you won't need millions of dollars to develop relationships, because we can leverage the role of being constituents to our advantage. So let's talk a little bit more about that. Number one, we know that it's not possible for a member of Congress or their staff to know every detail about various policies and about everything that's going on in the district they represent. As a result, they have a shortcut, right, in place where they rely on others to inform them about those updates and about the details on policies that are presented to them. So that's one of the main reasons that we meet with them. The other thing is this. Consider that we're not the only ones meeting with Congress. We know that, right? A study about 10 years ago highlighted that there was 5 paid energy lobbyists that averaged on kind of the record. There were 5 lobbyists that worked for energy companies for every member of Congress. And so we know that lobbyists representing many issues meet frequently with the office that we are as well. So we should too. Lobbying, you can think of as this. It's simply expressing the case or expressing your voice and making the case for what you want Congress to do, what the kind of world you want to see, and how Congress can play a role in getting us there. We also want to think about it this way. As constituents, there's 2 types of ways that we can kind of be prepared, and they're not given equal weight always. So let me kind of give you an example of what this kind of might look like. Say you're attending a town hall meeting, and a fellow constituent stands up or gets in line, you know, and eventually gets to the microphone and says, I think that we should reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. That's a very valid opinion. That's a constituent with an informed opinion that has a lot of concern. And the congresswoman listening in to that town hall will file it in one part of her brain. But let's just say the next constituent stands up and says, I think that we should reduce our greenhouse gas emissions because my 3-year-old daughter has respiratory problems and I'm worried about the health impacts on her developing lungs. Look at that. Just one additional phrase that was added to that. And yet the congresswoman is likely to store that story in a completely different compartment and think about it and bring it up in other decisions and ways that she's engaging on this issue. The person already automatically has a stronger bond with the legislator. The congresswoman has a much greater obligation to integrate her concerns into the decision-making process. And the lesson really here is that you and I as constituents with a genuine interest can play a role in influencing our members of Congress or staffer. But if we also come prepared with a story about how that interest is impacting us, or the people that we love or that they love and care about, we're much more likely to have influence than those who are just voicing or coming across as voicing an opinion. And we'll get into storytelling in just a little bit. But especially as we make this transition back out of the COVID era, when setting a legislator's daily agenda, constituents always figure prominently, any constituent who makes the effort to transition and travel to Washington, D.C., almost always will get a meeting with a member of Congress and staff. And we know repeatedly from our work and support from a great organization called the Congressional Management Foundation, they continue to highlight that basically the most effective way to impact your member of Congress isn't through a phone call, isn't through a form email, isn't through a handwritten letter to their office. It's a face-to-face meeting with a constituent. And that's the advantage that you each have to play in meeting and influencing your member of Congress. So let's talk about some of those advantages. And obviously we can kind of think about any of these that we may have missed too. Feel free to put them in the chat. But these are 4 of the ones that really come to mind for kind of us as we relay this out here. As a paid lobbyist, obviously they are professional. They have a lot of experience. They are confident. They are also paid to have an opinion. And they have a lot of background in frequency in DC, building up kind of that known entity for better or worse with members of Congress and their staff. And they are rarely, if ever, in the district of the member of Congress that they're meeting with trying to influence their stance on an issue. So that's who we're up against, right? So let's think about how we can translate that on our own sketchboard here to our advantage as constituent lobbyists. Well, number one, we're real people, not just hired guns. Number two, we actually have authentic issues. We're not there paid to show up and talk about an issue. We came on our own dime. We came so far because of an issue that matters intrinsically to us and our families. We also know that we are only occasionally in DC. You know, that might be a source of stress or uncertainty in your life, but it's also to an advantage because that means that the rest of our time, we are in the district, hearing, seeing, sensing, monitoring what is important for the people that member of Congress represents. And so really the take-home message here is that we're offering something very different than what has traditionally been done. We don't have every advantage, but we have a passionate interest in the topic, and we can play to our advantages to really be able to speak to that member of Congress and help shift their insight on the issue. All right, so let's talk about something else, and that is this concept of a comfort zone. How many people here have heard of this? It's this idea, right, that as you grow and expand what you are familiar with, so does your comfort zone. At first, you might be in a tiny little bubble where only doing things that feel familiar are within your routine and where you don't dare to stray out of. But as Neil Walsh likes to say, life begins at the end of your comfort zone. So if you're feeling uncomfortable now thinking about this idea, or if you're going to have this experience of discomfort leading into the lobby day, know that the change taking place is a beginning and not an ending. And we love to say this. You might feel like you're here right now, but this is where the magic happens, and it's where all of the magic that we're working on together needs to happen, right? So thank you all for being involved in and being willing to expand that comfort zone into where the magic happens collectively. You know, that's absolutely essential. And so to kind of put a descriptor to that, we'll actually hear another short little 2-minute interview from another new volunteer. This is the amazing Andrew Broad out of Utah's Salt Lake City chapter. And Andrew's going to talk a little bit about his first time lobbying and also his experience as a conservative and the impact it's had on his advocacy with the support he's received from.
I'm a CCO volunteer located in Salt Lake City, Utah. And I am a kind of catch-all volunteer. I write letters to the editor, participate in tabling. And I think CCL's lobbying has kind of done the same thing for me, because whereas previously I was kind of, no one who's conservative really cares about climate change. Meetings was kind of the first like big reality check. It's like, wow, I'm actually doing something. Actually got a very positive response on things like carbon border adjustment and, retooling industries in coal country to potentially go towards renewables, price on carbon, all of that stuff. We didn't get agreement in a lot of places that we wanted to get agreement in, and we didn't get any certain commitments. But I just, as a conservative with a group of other conservatives, I felt the office recognized our problems, and they understood the real brevity of the situation. It's just politically, it was difficult for them to do anything. And I think that was kind of my first real eye opener into the fact that, we're all human. We all technically want to solve this. Is first moment I felt where it was like, wow, this actually is something that we can get done. We just need to work really hard at it. So I think that CCL has provided a great approach for people like me. And, as a sort of jumping off point for getting involved in a lot of other activities. And I think the only real advice I'd have to say for other conservatives and CCL is to just get involved. I can tell you right now that even the people who I've met who are like way to the left in CCL are appreciative to have conservatives on board, extremely appreciative for any assistance they can get. It's something that we all got to get in the fight in and do together, because it's a problem that affects all of us. And at the end of the day, it's a great opportunity for keeping, America's economy strong, for getting our grid renewed, creating new infrastructure, new
jobs. I love how he ends that there and really talking about the common ground and some of the areas that we can build out. And that's a perfect transition, Andrew, actually, to how we can build relationships and thinking about kind of using that framing about building common ground and having the chance to really influence members of Congress by effectively building relationships. So basically, this first quote here is from the eternal Dale Carnegie, who's training Todd that the best way to win friends and influence people is to understand someone else's problem and interests. And this advice still rings true today. As advocates, it's really important for us to understand how we can influence those that we're talking to and building a relationship with. As an advocate, you'll be much more powerful by starting a conversation, by asking about the member of Congress's child or grandkid or, any other connection. Maybe mention that you saw her in a picture in the newspaper recently, a ribbon cutting, congratulating them on another recent legislative accomplishment. That's how we start our meetings, with an appreciation. And part of the reason that lobbyists are so successful is because they know the issues. Not only they're successful building relationships, but because they become trusted advisors or policy experts. And we can do that as well. We have specific information regarding on how our policies that we're advocating for impact the state or the district that we live in. You can hear some of those examples from the top level that Andrew even just shared right there. And not many other people have that information on the topic of climate change during a meeting with Congress, right? So every congressional office knows that those in-district advocates who stay on top of an issue and don't hesitate to offer help or advice on how a legislator should vote on specific issues is worth their weight in gold. So keeping in regular contact with your legislators through your liaison provides that valuable service to our legislators and staff and keeps them accountable to voters. And again, we'll talk more about this in our next series in our lobby training, but really the CCL way is always to operate in that framework of respect, appreciation, and gratitude. It's not just a slogan, it's a cornerstone of who we are and how we build relationships. And going back to what the Congressional Management Foundation's findings are, I would like to just highlight one additional element, and that is this question and answer to what is one of the most valuable tools that you can provide or that lobbyists have in their toolkit? And it isn't anything that maybe you might anticipate. Rather, it's a detailed analysis of how a particular issue affects the lawmaker's district or state. Some state associations, nonprofits, or leaders might offer this data, but they can't pair it with a personal story that centers the human experience of an issue and why it matters to you and your family. And we can say with certainty that very few people beyond our own volunteer network are working to identify and research how climate solutions like a strong price on carbon with a cashback to households or clean energy permitting reform priorities actually affect our legislative constituents. And so that is why it's so critical too in your preparations for meeting with your members of Congress that you can share your own stories and talk about those impacts as you weave in your meetings plans together. And so what I'd like to do actually is just kind of close with one additional element of another story from a volunteer, and then open it up for other Q&A and ideas, suggestions, questions, and experiences that all of you have. And I'm just so grateful, obviously, that you are all here tonight. But what I'd like to do actually is just give it over to Gigi. Gigi Santo is one of our group leaders out of California or out of Florida in Broward County. Just an amazing up and coming leader. And in this reflection, I think what Gigi speaks to is, again, getting out of our comfort zone and realizing that all of us have much greater leadership potential than we might have felt comfortable initially admitting, and how she personally applies that philosophy to take on that next step of leadership and engaging others around her, and her invitation for all of us to do the same thing.
About a year ago, like many, I was really worried about climate change. I had just watched the documentary Our Planet, which is amazing, by the way, and I had desperately wanted to do something. I went through that unfortunate phase of acting on climate change by myself, which obviously never amounted to anything. And then I turned to environmental groups, all the typical ones, the popular ones. But I found myself skipping from group to group because each one I had joined had either completely unrealistic goals or goals that were entirely vague or inconsistent. After a year of joining and fading out of at least 5 different groups, I was at a loss. And then I learned about CCL. When I first read over the information on the CCL site, I realized I saw a viable solution. I saw a real path forward, which was incredible to me a year ago because I had spent a very long time looking for one. I wanted to put my energy behind something that I knew could work, that could actually pass into law. And having that opportunity now is what motivates me to lead. Knowing that the work that I do actually has an effect on policy and the world. Other CCL volunteers have proven that it works again and again. And when I got the opportunity to do something like that, I had to take advantage of it. That's because leadership doesn't require this innate talent to lead. People think leaders should already be inspiring and charismatic from birth, but that's untrue. The fact is, a lot of people don't have this so-called natural talent for leadership. They're introverts or they're awkward. That's how I was. I didn't have any natural born talent for people or for leadership, but I still had a strong will to help fight climate change. And I had a vision of action that I believed in. Leadership is a powerful tool. is much easier to use than one might think. Truly, anyone can be a leader. You hear it all the time, but I really need it. All that set me apart from others, what sets all of us here apart from others, is that I cared. I cared deeply about the issue of climate change, and I was willing to work against it. 8 months later, I'm meeting with congresspeople, I'm organizing events, and I'm here talking to all of you. I hope that highlights how leadership can propel you to a whole new level. In honesty, the climate movement is in desperate need of leaders of all kinds. We need more people to guide volunteers, people to make climate action accessible and easy for others. And if you have that will to help, if you have that passion, you can lead. I promise that all of you are capable.
Yeah, oh, thank you, Gigi. That is perfect words to close on. You know, as we wrap up here tonight, I hope that you felt our learning goals were really something that you're walking away more empowered and feeling grounded in, and that is you as a constituent matter. You have important advantages that you can use strategically in your meetings. There are approaches that we've reviewed to help us be effective. And in hearing other stories about empowerment, we too are hopefully empowered to share our story and bring others in our communities, in our networks, into this political process and help shape the movement and grow that political will for a livable world with CCL. So with that, I'm actually going to just quickly share. You can find that green button, log your training, at the end of any training. You can also go to the action tracker, select chapter and volunteer development, and then type in the name of the training after you select training. If you have any questions after tonight, know that I'm more than happy to be in touch. My email is simply brett@citizensclimate.org. You can also go to our forums, cclusa.org/forums, and have the chance to engage there. And I'll close with this wonderful quote from the Dalai Lama. If you haven't already been convinced that you can make a difference, here's what he has to say. If you think you are too small to make a difference, try sleeping with a mosquito in a tent.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram @CitizensClimate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. Like what you hear? Recommend us to your friends and make sure to give us a 5-star rating. It helps us show up on other listeners' feeds. Feel free to pass on any suggestions for future episodes in the comments as well. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.